So tonight, we're going to talk about spiritual edification in the church. Wash your mouth. I like that photo up there. Wash your mouth. How many of us have ever been careless with your words? Is it just me? Okay, I see two hands over here. If I could raise the... Hey, you're getting ahead of me, sir. So this one's going to be three portions. The first section is words as a weapon. It's a little harsh, and since Mr. Mike brought it up, one of my favorite memory scriptures in the Bible is Ephesians 4:29. And I'm going to give you three versions of it because I think it's important that we understand it and that we can get it into our spirit. The first one is the New Living Translation. It says, don't use foul or abusive language. I'm going to say that again. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Amen. The NIV version reads, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Amen. And then the New King James version reads, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Amen. The way that I learned that scripture is Building 429. I think there used to be a band called Building 429. But that whole scripture is about building up one another. Amen. How many here tonight were ever physically bullied in school? Amen. Some of you other guys were fighters, I guess. I'm just kidding. How many ever suffered verbal abuse from said bully? Okay. Well, since there's not many hands, how many of you here tonight were the bully? No? Oh, watch out for these guys. Hold on. You know, when I was young and I was going through middle school and high school, I was bullied both physically and verbally. And it's not fun. Those of you who've gone through that know it's not fun. I remember people used to call me outside of my name. Horrible, horrible words, cuss words, words that would reduce my self-esteem to nothing. How many of you have been there before? Either by a bully, it didn't have to be, but it could be a relative, it could be anybody. But, you know, words so harsh that they would tear down my spirit. Don't be fooled, though. There was times where I, too, engaged in that kind of behavior, tearing down my fellow man using evil words. Over time, though, I developed thick skin. I think a lot of us here may have been forced to do that. And there came a point where I didn't really care what people said or thought about me. And to this day, you know, I still really don't. I have to worry about myself. And you know, we all have our own set of problems, so I can't sit here and be concerned about what people think or say about me. And I said all that to say that your words need to benefit, encourage, or impart grace to those who hear your words. Amen? Because you never know who is listening, especially parents. I don't have kids, but I've known parents that, man, they had a mouth on them, and they would just speak harsh things, you know, things that I wouldn't want a 2 or 3 year old hear. And sometimes I'd see their little kids look up to them, and then it wouldn't surprise me if later on in life you heard those same things repeated by those little babies. So you never know who is listening. Amen. Our words have power. Proverbs 18:20-21 speaks about the selfishness of the unfriendly. It reads, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's belly is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Amen. And that's the Berean Standard Bible. I try to find different versions of the Bible to learn and understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to me. So that section right there is words as a weapon. This next section is number two, and this is kind of I'll share with you. It's called Tearing Down on Social Media. Tearing Down on Social Media. Got quiet in here. So a while back, I had posted something online, and somebody replied to it, and I didn't like what they had to say. Because they made it political. I'm not a real political guy. I'm not a political science major. I'm not very smart, so I couldn't sit here and, you know, split political hairs. So, but anyways, I replied in a really horrible way, and I got called out on it by Pastor Jack in a loving and kind manner. And you know, when he said it, I wasn't mad, but it made me ponder and think about it. And I'm glad he did that. I'm glad he called me out. I'm glad that he brought it to my attention, saying, you know, if you're going to be a leader, if you're going to be a pastor, man, you know, you have to set the example. You have to watch what you say. You have to encourage. You have to build. And when he told me all that, I actually prayed about it, because, again, I'm not very smart. So I asked the Lord, I was like, I need to know why it is that, you know, I'm glad that it happened, but I want to know and learn from my mistakes, because that's an opportunity. If you fail at something, there's always an opportunity to learn about it, because if you fail and you fall down, the only way to look is up. So you can learn from that. And one of the things that he shared with me, he said, instead of being verbally abusive, you can always just, and I didn't know you could, but you could turn off the comments or delete the whole thing entirely. See, one of the things I learned. So who here has given someone on social media a piece of your mind? Oh, I'm not alone. Thank you, Jesus. So let's talk about what it means. Tearing down on social media encompasses various forms of negativity, and this is the stuff that I learned when I prayed and I asked the Lord, teach me, please. I don't want to hurt people, because I know you love them. He says, so tearing down on social media encompasses various forms of online negativity, including bullying and harassment. That means repeatedly targeting individuals with abusive or threatening language or actions. Amen. How many of us have done that or been a victim to that? I've dished it out. So another one that I learned about is cyber stalking. I thought stalking was just done physically. You follow somebody to their house and, you know, you stalk them. But apparently cyber stalking is intentionally following, harassing, or stalking someone online. Amen. Another one of tearing down on social media is spreading disinformation. That's deliberately sharing false or misleading information to damage someone's reputation or incite hatred. Amen? I'm going to say that one again. Spreading misinformation. Deliberately sharing false or misleading information to damage someone's reputation or incite hatred. That was one that really kind of hit home. Incite hatred. That's just, those two words, man, are give you something to think about. Amen. Another one, tearing down on social media, is hate speech. Using language that attacks or dehumanizes individuals or groups based on their identity. Who's gone through that? I have gone through a lot of hate speech. I've encountered it in my job and in meetings. Someone will say something about a specific race, and you know, one time it was recorded, And it impacted me so much. I was back when Pastor Wooten and Sister Jody were here. And that recording spread like wildfire among, you know, the Hispanic Americans in our company, because it was directed at us. And it was a horrible thing to say. And I felt some kind of way, but I didn't know the person. So at the end of the day, I didn't really care. But it's one of those things that it happens. And until you're a victim of it, it's, you know, you don't really know it's out there. And then another one that I had no clue about, it's called doxing. Revealing someone's personal information online, often with the intent to harm or harass them. Amen. So tearing down on social media is a thing. And, you know, it's harmful. And why is it harmful, you may ask yourself? Number one, emotional distress. You know, for some people, tearing down can cause significant emotional distress, anxiety, and even depression in the targeted individuals. Amen. How many have loved somebody so much, and then maybe in the heat of the moment they say something and it just hurts your feelings, and then you walk around and you're bummed out, you don't want to eat, you can't sleep, and it's constantly on your mind. That's emotional distress. You know, some of us can handle it better than others. And so we have to be careful, because, you know, some people may look up to you and you say something just off the cuff, and you could tear that person down. And as we've read in the scriptures, we're called to edify one another, to love one another, to build one another up, you know, to consider our brother and sister better than us. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's called humility. You're not humiliating yourself. It's being humble. The Bible, and I'll say it again and again, the Lord walks with the humble. Imagine that. If you learn to humble yourself, he will uplift you and he will walk with you. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing to me, that he walks with the humble. He thinks so much of a person that is willing to humble themselves that he will walk with them. Amen? So why it's harmful... another one, real-world consequences. Online negativity can lead to real-world consequences such as threats, violence, or even suicide. As I was praying and reading and learning about this stuff, I heard of stories where, and this is heartbreaking, you know, little elementary kids and high school kids that get bullied online, or photos or whatever the case may be, you know, they get harassed and threatened, and they get so much grief online that they ended up committing suicide. And that was profound to me. I'm like, man, you know, I think of online stuff as that's not the real world. So to me, I don't give it much weight. But to think that there's people out there that it affects them in such a way that it has those real world consequences, that they want to hang themselves, you know, or shoot themselves over comments online. And so, you know, when I encountered this, you know, I'm glad that I went through it, because I've learned so much from it. Amen. And so on this section, we're going to talk about briefly, I won't take too much of your time tonight, but how to address some of this tearing down online. How to address it. Because if it's causing real world, you know, harm and consequences, we don't want to do that. And at some point, you got to be able to know how to address it. So you can report abusive content. That's another thing I didn't know. You can report it. Social media platforms have reporting mechanisms that users can use to report abusive content or behavior. So you can report it. Not sure what they do with it. Maybe they'll delete it. But that's good to know. And then this one, as I learned personally, you can block users. Who's blocked people before? Amen. I see that's almost a lot. So users can block individuals who are engaging in harmful behavior to prevent further interaction. I can see how that can be a good, you know, tool, especially when you're getting stalked. Amen. Another thing you can do to address it is document your evidence. If you are experiencing harassment or abuse, document the evidence and consider contacting law enforcement if you're comfortable to do something like that. And another is supporting victims. You know, offer support to those who are being targeted, you know, by tearing down behavior. And another way, the final way to address it is to promote positivity. Encourage positive and constructive online interactions. Amen. If you're online, and sometimes I'll see something and I'm like, man, I want to say this, but I'll have to consider, will it build, will it edify, or will it build? And I'm like, man, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And I'm like, man, I shouldn't do that. Say again. She called me. I've done that too. You'll type it all out and you're about to hit send and you're like, oh, no. I don't know, man. So, yeah, it's a point. It makes you feel better typing it out. But then you start thinking, do these people know where I live? Am I ready for that kind of smoke? I don't know, man. At any rate, we got to, you know, love one another, build one another. And I wanted to throw that in there because I went through that. And it was harsh. What I put on there, I don't want to get into it. I ended up deleting it. And I'm glad I had that. It was a heart-to-heart that I really had, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for our leaders. I'm grateful for our pastors, for the Dream Team leaders, those that we're accountable to, that we're able to, you know. I got called out on it, and I'm all right with that. I am a corrupt individual. I come from the ghetto. I come from the streets, man, and so I know how to do wrong. I know how to do a lot of wrong. I know mistakes. That's my middle name. I did them all my life. I started from the bottom three times, and I know how to ruin things. So to learn to edify is a thing. And you know, we're born in sin, and human beings. You know, this is just me, but they're self-destructive in nature if you really think about it. You know, they don't ever go to edify. They people are quick to get angry. But nobody is you know, has it together enough to be calm and to just listen and to talk. Like Pastor Wooten would say, talk about the hard things. That could be something difficult for a lot of people. Amen. All right. And this point number three is to edify one another. Who has examples of edifying one another? Who can give me one? You can scream it out if you want. Anybody? Oh, we don't know how to edify. Oh man, it's quiet in here. That concerns me. I'm just kidding. Anybody? Nobody? Like, hey, good morning. You look good today. You know, your hair looks good. Instead of, oh, you brushed your hair. Your hair looks good. Anybody else? No? Okay. My wife said, just be an encouragement. Okay. Say again. Oh, it's the golden rule. You know, that reminded me of something that it's the golden rule. What's the golden rule to do unto others? You know, I had that corrupted growing up. I used to always say, I'm going to do unto others before they do unto me. If that's not an example of how corrupt I was, I mean, I don't know what is. But that's what I used to say. I'm going to do unto others before they do unto me. But I like that. It's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's right. Sometimes it's important to ask ourselves, am I building up? Or am I tearing down? Amen. I'm going to go over a few verses that exhort us about the words that we speak. The first one is Ephesians 4:29. It says, therefore, putting away lying. Is it up there? Yeah. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. We're the body of Christ. Amen. We shouldn't be lying to one another. Why does lying hurt? Can anybody? I'm real interactive. I'd like to know what y'all are thinking. So you can spit it out. Why does lying hurt one another? I heard that lying destroys trust. That, say again? Destroys character. So lying destroys trust. People be, oh man, I can't trust that brother. He lies all the time. He doesn't have a good character. Amen. So lying destroys trust and character. The next one is James 4:11. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. So don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. You know, as I got to read the word, one of the things I would think about is when the children of Israel were left Egypt, and I was like, man, that's a lot of people. And I would imagine, you know, it would be hard to get along for that many millions of people. It would be, to me, it would just, there's so many personalities, you know, it would be hard to get along. And, you know, it would be hard to minimize that speaking evil against one another. I came to understand that, you know, those were just different clans. And different clans have, you know, different families. I mean, that's how it seemed. Different families, they have, you know, their personalities, you know, their way of thinking, their way of living. And as a body of Christ, you know, we have to learn to understand that, you know, we all come from different backgrounds. We were raised differently. And so at some point, we have to understand and love one another and just accept one another as we are. And sometimes even learn from that particular clan or that particular, you know, we could be a different race, different language. You know, don't speak evil of one another and don't criticize and judge each other. You know, there's a lot of that happens in our society, and it's not a good thing. You know, a country divided against itself will not stand, amen? Another one, Colossians 3:8. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Amen. Anger. How many of us get angry? How many of us get angry at work? Amen. Colossians 3:8. But it says you must rid yourselves. That's a command. You got to get rid of that stuff. Get rid of anger, rage. How many of you have raged before? I've raged. I've always said that I was when it comes to road rage, I'm at the head of the line. The Lord, one time he got me, and I'm gonna share it with you because I need y'all to know who I am. So I used to work downtown, but this was pre-pandemic, so. I developed a relationship with somebody at work who happened to be a brother. I didn't know he was a brother. He talked about it. You know, one time I said, hey, you're a Christian. You believe. And he was, I think I want to say he was a deacon in his church or maybe even a pastor. I'm not sure. So one day we're leaving work and somebody cuts me off and there I am road raging. I'm a lot calmer now. Thank the Lord. He's worked in me. But back then, man, I honked and I was like, ugh. And then you know how sometimes you want to get right next to them so you can wave at them with one finger. So don't you know I get up to the next, and it's my friend from work. And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus. I hit the brakes. I hope he didn't see me. And so the rest of the night, you can imagine, I was like, oh, I felt so bad. And that's just one example there. And then the one that really hit home one time is I was on the highway and I honked at somebody and I wished ill will. I'm not gonna lie to you. I wished ill will toward them, and the Holy Spirit whispered to me and he said, "You're wishing ill will on a person who I made in my image that I love just as much as you." Oh, I wanted to pull over on the side of the road and just cry. And ever since then. I'm like, Lord, what do I need to do to stop this road rage? And a lot of the times I made myself to be in a hurry where it wasn't necessary, you know, to be a part of all the hustle and bustle. take your time, calm down. Wherever you're going, it's not going to move. If you're going to a building, it's not going to get up and just disappear. So I've learned to drive a little slower, a little more considerate. And but yeah, rage. Another one, malice. That one was a tough one for me. There was situations. I have a very loving and tender wife, y'all. It was hard for me. Sometimes we would have conversations, and I would get mad at her for something that she would say, and we would talk about it because, you know, I don't want to be a couple that's always, you know, at odds. But she would always tell me, and this is where I learned. She's like, anything that I do or talk to you or say about you is not rooted in malice. And that's where something that I had to learn, that I had to learn eventually, that this woman loves me. You know, I had to learn and understand that sometimes the enemy would use that and say, hey, man, she's saying that to you out of malice. And I would get angry. But I had to learn and just stay away, you know, stay away from that kind of thinking. And then when we would have a conversation, if I found myself getting mad, I'd just go back and remember what my wife said, that she loves me. She loves me, and anything she ever does is to edify me and for it to improve our marriage, amen? Slander. I think we've all slandered in here at some point. And then filthy language from your lips. I think that encompasses everything else. That's Colossians 3:8. And if you think about it, in every one of these verses, we're not told to think about it. We're not told to pray about it or to get counsel about it. Amen? We're not told to try to. We're told to do it. Amen? We're told to do it. Since God never tells us to do something we're not able to do by the power of His Holy Spirit, it says we must have the ability to control what we speak. Amen. It's very, very important. Another powerful passage about words is in James. It's James 3:9-10. It says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. There's that, about that story I shared. Who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Amen. This should not be. I'm going to read that again. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. I'm going to pepper you with a few more passages. So when I speak about something, I want it, you know, like we, you know, like our pastors, it's always rooted in the word. We're not saying something that is just coming out of our own thoughts and feelings. This is rooted in the word. Give me a second. So a few more passages. Proverbs 12:18, it says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Amen. I used to have friends and family members who I would hear them argue and fight. And I remember even before knowing the word, some of their words that I would say to my head, man, their words are, I didn't say swords, but I would say their words are like knives. I mean, so vicious and powerful that they cut. If they were knives, they would cut. Amen? And so the words of the reckless, and they were reckless with their words. It pierced like swords. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Amen? The next one is 2 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. Amen? Again, we're the body of Christ. We're here to edify one another, love on one another, encourage one another. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Romans 14, 19. I like this one. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and to try to build each other up. That's a beautiful thing. Serving the Lord Jesus, and firing on all cylinders, being in harmony, us looking out for one another, looking out for the widow, for the orphan. You know what I'm saying? The homeless, those that need help, operating in harmony, you know, loving on the marginalized people, man. It's beautiful when we can operate that way. Another one that I like is Proverbs 15:1. Everybody's probably heard this one. It says, a gentle answer deflects anger. A gentle answer deflects anger. But harsh words makes tempers flare. Proverbs 15:1. You know, I can't find an example of that, but I've known men. When I first got into the job that I'm in, I had an encounter with a man, and I mind you, I was on a learning curve of doing what I do, and I wasn't very good at it, and I got upset, and I started raising my voice, and the guy on the other end of the phone, you could tell he was an older gentleman, he had been doing this for years, and he told me, Frank, let's calm down for a second, and let's read through this estimate together. And let's see if we can't find out what's going on here. And he said it with such gentleness. That it changed my demeanor. And I was ashamed later on. Because I didn't have that. But over time, the Lord, those rough edges, he will scrape them away. And he will teach you how to talk to one another. Pastor Wood used to say how to talk about the hard things, not argue, not scream, but how to talk about them and in peace. Amen. And if you are open to God's fine tuning of your words, he will show you cursing isn't always overt, loud, or angry. In closing, I'm going to go over a series of questions we can ask ourselves about what we write, speak, and even think. Amen. Is what I'm about to write or speak, is it going to build up or tear down? Amen. Is what I'm about to write or speak going to encourage or discourage? Amen. Is what I'm about to write or speak going to praise or is it going to cut down? Is what I'm about to write or speak, is it going to bring laughter, but at someone else's expense? Amen. I love to make people laugh, man, but never at somebody else's expense. I was made fun of a lot growing up in high school, middle school, high school, even in my neighborhood, and it hurts. I thank God that there was times I'm like, man, I don't care, because sometimes people would make fun of me, and I would tell them, yeah, but you're making fun of me from way over there. Come do it over here. And let's see how things change. And that right there, a lot of the time, would cut a lot of the riffraff off. So, and that scared a lot of people. But, you know, if they actually showed up over here, I was like, what do I do? But it really, you know, I was selling wolf tickets, but they bought them. So, so is what I'm about to write or speak going to sound witty or cutting? Amen. Is what I'm about to write or speak, is it going to promote unity or is it going to breed strife? Is what I'm about to write or speak, is it going to make peace or is it going to incite war? Is it going to make someone laugh or hurt their feelings or mock them? Amen. Is what I'm about to write or speak, is it going to promote honor or show disrespect? You know, the Bible says that we're to honor our brother and sister, to consider them better than ourselves. You know, that's beautiful because I see that happens all the time here. We love on one another. We encourage one another. This place, I feel a peace when I walk in here. I know that this is my family, my forever family, as it's said a lot. And, you know, even when we're down, you know, the brothers, there's brothers that have approached me, and when I don't smile, I've been called out. I need to see you smile. And then I'll smile. I think he knows who I'm talking about. And I thank God for that, because it made me, it lifted me up, and it pulled me out of a, you know, out of a pity party. And you know, when every time I see him, I make sure I got a smile for him, because I know he will let me know that he needs to get his smile. Is what I'm about to write, is it going to foster trust, or is it going to spread gossip? Amen. God showed me that each oar in my list is cursing, bringing death with my words instead of speaking life. You know, we can share 2 hours of awesome God stories with somebody and invalidate it all in a quick minute with careless cursing. Amen. Whatever words we choose to speak are just that. They're our choice. The Bible leaves no room for debate about that. We can exercise our free will any way we choose, including what we speak. I believe Paul's exhortation also applies to all we write, including what we post on social media. Amen? Because once we post, we have no control over who reads or shares our words. Amen? People get to know you by your words. What they see will determine whether or not they want to get to know you, either online or in real life. Amen? In closing, always remember, before you hit enter for a post on X, Facebook, or other social media, ask yourselves, will my words build up or tear down? And to release them or not is always your choice. So choose wisely, amen? Tonight I'm going to leave you with with Proverbs 17:28. To me, it's a beautiful proverb. Right? There's a lot of wisdom, and it's profound to me. It reads, is it up here? It says, even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. You know, sometimes I found myself in rooms where everybody is smarter than me, and I'll just shut my mouth. And then people will always say, Frank, what do you have to say? And I still keep my mouth shut. Because I'm like, man, well, I want to say, well, y'all done said it all. There's nothing for me. I can't put icing on this. Y'all have done a great job. But that's one of the things that I've learned, is to sometimes just keep my mouth shut. I'm going to read that again. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Amen. Stand up with me tonight, and let's close in a word of prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands if you can. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we love you. We're grateful tonight, and we rejoice and lift you up with our words, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us tonight in the taming of our tongue. Your word reads, no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Holy Spirit, grant us wisdom from above, which is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others, Lord. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism, and it's always sincere, Lord. Lord, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap harvests, a harvest of righteousness, Lord. Lord, tonight we leave your house, but never your presence. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.